All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we will be this evening. Like Pastor said, he always leaves me to come between us and food, and good Baptists, the preachers should know better than to keep the Baptists and the people from that problem. But I do promise to get us out a little bit shorter tonight. Simple message, some points that is common knowledge that we all will know, but more of a challenge, I believe, for all of us this evening that the Lord has given me and laid on my heart. Quick question to ask. I just want to know my audience a little bit more. I haven't gotten to talk with everybody and gotten to know everybody the way that I would love to. But knowing that I'm from Indiana, today was Indiana's largest event in the year. You know, it's pretty much the only thing Indiana's known for, the Indy 500. And I actually got to watch it for the second time in my 22 years of life. And so I was pretty thrilled. Growing up in Indiana, they black it out so you can't watch it. You're either there at the race or you're not. And I don't know why they do that to us, but they do. And so I was able to watch the 100th running 3 years ago. They were nice enough to show us that. But I got to watch that today. So I guess that's a perk of not living in Indiana. But who else? Anybody else watch the race? Was it just me? Am I the only care? All right, JT and the Mass family. The racing family's here, yes. All right. Now, who's ready for the Coke 600 tonight? Same plus maybe one. I can't help it. My racing roots in Indiana, dirt racing, short track racing, things like that, I enjoy it and love it. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. Now you know a little bit more about me, and I definitely know a lot more about all of you that you don't care. that's the way it is. I'll get over it. I won't have any hurt feelings or hold any grudges to y'all. But like I said, a shorter message this evening, and I do hope that it will be a help to us all. Even though it is common knowledge to us all as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll begin our reading. Actually, just a couple verses at the beginning of chapter 2, but we'll start in verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse number 3, it says that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I just want to bring a thought this evening. If I had a title to my message, a good soldier in the Lord's army. How we could be good soldiers in the Lord's army. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this evening, God, I count it a privilege, I count it as a joy to be able to stand before your people here and behind your pulpit, Lord, in your house and to preach this evening. God, I don't take it lightly. And Lord, I just pray for your help. I ask that you'd give me the confidence that I need, the words that I need. Lord, that you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your power and your spirit. And just help me to be able to communicate effectively to your people this evening, that we all might be able to walk out of here having learned something new, been challenged, Lord, whatever it might be, that you just work in our hearts and lives as only you can. And Lord, that you'd bless the fellowship later on after. In your name we pray, amen. So with it being Memorial Day weekend, tomorrow obviously being the day that we have set aside to observe Memorial Day, you know, it's what that's all about is we look back, we remember the fallen soldiers, those who have sacrificed, those who have given their all to protect our freedoms, to protect our rights and our country. And so we set aside a time to remember that and to look to them to celebrate our freedom that we have. And so after praying about it, I thought this would be a good passage. The Lord kind of just gave me the peace to lay it on my heart. But like I said, I promise it'll be a little short. It's more common knowledge tonight, but I just want to share 13 points, 13 whatever you might want to call it. Some people are laughing. I promise it will be quick. Just 13 quick reminders or points on what it means to be a good soldier in the Lord's army. And we have a few here this evening who have served in the military, and so you'll probably see, you'll recognize, you'll know the similarities between the two as they pretty much will carry over from one towards the other. So number one this evening, we see a good soldier loves his commander. A good soldier loves his commander. Now, I don't know much about, obviously, serving in our military, the United States military. I don't know if this one is a similar thing, if it carries over necessarily. But to be a Christian in the Lord's army, it's a pretty obvious no-brainer that we should love our commander, right? We should love our commander when it comes to being a Christian. The one major requirement above all others is to love him, to love God, be thankful for him. A good soldier loves his commander so much he wants to please him. It says that there in verse number 4, the second half, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. We should love our God, we should love our commander enough that whatever it is he's called us to do, whatever the mission it is that he's given to us to take on, whatever it is that we're facing, that we love him above all else. That we love him and we'll serve him gladly. We'll do give him our all. We'll give him our best. It shouldn't be hard. If we love our commander, it shouldn't be hard to serve him and to live for him and to respect him and please him because we love him enough. We are to love our commander. Secondly, a good soldier obeys his commander. A good soldier obeys his commander. How do you obey our commander-in-chief? How do you obey the Lord? Well, I believe there's just a few quick, easy things that we can do and we can follow through in order to obey our commander. Number one, keep his commandments. We're to keep his commandments, right? He has given us commandments, his principles, his precepts. They're all here in his word, in the word of God. We are to read it, we're to study it, we're to memorize it, we're to meditate on it, we're to know it enough that we know his words, we know his principle, we know those things, we know the commandments, but then what? We follow through with them and we keep them. We obey them. That's a way that we can obey our commander. Another way we can obey our commander is to follow where he leads. Listen to what he says. If he leads you someplace, go. If he tells you to do something, do it. If whatever it is that he's speaking to you, we're to listen. We're to obey our commander. It might be the most difficult part of the Christian life because of our stubbornness and pride, but if he's leading you to a task, if he's giving you a special mission, we need to do it. If he's telling us to do something special, to do a little bit more, whatever it might be, hey, we need to do it. We need to obey our commander. Number three, I told you this would go fast. Number three, a good soldier believes the cause he's passionate about. A good soldier believes the cause he's passionate about. How many know stories of people, maybe you know someone personally yourself, that they're just passionate. They're passionate about something, they're passionate about someone maybe. They're just passionate people. We know people that are like that. I think all of us at some point or another about something are passionate. But I'm not talking about just passionate. I'm talking about passionate. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying. They can't hold it back. You can tell. They're passionate about their cause. They're passionate about their job. They're passionate about what they sell and what they do. They're passionate about who they love or who they serve. They're passionate. It's what they do. It's you can't change their mind. You can't change the way that they believe. You can't change the way that they might look at those things because they're just passionate about it. Passionate enough to believe it. Passionate enough to take a stand for it. Passionate enough to, you fill in the blanks. You can go on and on, I feel like. They're passionate about it, and you can't get in the way. You can't stop them. You can't hinder them or slow them down because they're passionately believe in what they're doing, in their cause. Much like we can do that in about anything in life, much like people we may know or those stories that we could think of people, we should be the same in our Christian life. We should be the same when it comes to serving the Lord in His army. We should be passionate people. Passionate about what? Passionate about serving Him. Passionate about loving Him. Passionate about giving out the gospel and sharing His love and His message with the world, with those around us. Passionate about being saved. Passionate about going to church. Passionate about being able to worship Him freely in the greatest country on earth. Passionate about being able to give to Him and give to His cause or to give to missions. Passionate about people. Once again, you go on and on, fill in the blank. Passionate. Passionate for Him. A good soldier believes the cause he's passionate about. We must passionately believe that His cause is our own, and we must follow through with it and live it out in our daily lives. Good soldier is passionate. Number four, good soldier knows everything about his weapons. A good soldier knows everything about his weapons. I believe it's a thing, it's a class, a course, I don't know what you call it. Those of you who have served, you can share with me afterwards. But you're to know your weapons, the weapons that you're using. To the point where I'm pretty sure you guys are timed. You have to be able to take it apart, clean it, put it back together, and all kinds of things like that. You know your weapons enough that you could do that. You train with them. They use them. They know how to use them. They know what they're about and all kinds of things like that. They know their weapons. Well, we as Christians in the Lord's army, we do have a couple weapons ourselves that we can use, and we need to know them. We need to be more than just familiar with them. We need to know how to use them. We can't keep them dusty. We can't let them lay on the shelf. No, we got to carry with them with us every day, and we need to use them. Number one, it's your sword, the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the Word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Not just a one-edged sword, no. No, this goes farther here, the writer of Hebrews, a two-edged sword. So if I wasn't already scared of a sword, just any sword, no matter the length, the Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword. It can pierce, it can cut straight to the heart, it can hinder the enemy, kill the enemy, it scares the enemy off. Whatever it is, the Bible is quick. It's used as a sword. We can use it as a sword to fight the enemy with. We need to know how to use it. Once again, like I just said a moment ago, that means we need to read it on a regular basis. We need to know it. We need to understand it so that when the time comes that it's time to be used, we know how to use it. We got to train with it just like any other weapon that we may have. What about prayer, though? Prayer is a weapon that we have as a Christian soldier in the Lord's army. Prayer. In fact, we could use it even more so and probably even better than the Word of God because all it is just talking to Him. Prayer, we go straight to our commander. I mean, yeah, we got a sword, but we can talk straight to, we don't have to go through, our other leaders, our other commanders, people in charge of us and things like that. No. So that they can relay the message, we get to go straight to our commander-in-chief. We get to go straight to him humbly, to the throne, and we get to share with him about whatever it is that's going on, whatever it is we're facing, the battle, the war, the enemy. Lord, you know, we get to go straight to him. Lord, I need your help. God, I need you. I need some backup. I need something here to be able to face this enemy, to get me through this day, to get me through this battle, to help me. We have prayer, we have the Word of God as our weapons, and they're weapons that we need to know how to use and use them on a regular basis when it comes in the heap of battle. Number five, a good soldier is strong and in shape. A good soldier is strong and in shape. God knew when he was, or God knew that Timothy here would need strength and endurance to be able to fulfill the tasks that God has called him to, that God gave him to be a preacher, to be a pastor. Just like anybody needs that strength and that encouragement, that endurance to keep keeping on. That's why Paul writes to young Timothy here. He writes to him to tell him, and actually he often tells him, I believe it's 25 times the phrase be strong is written in 1 and 2 Timothy. What's he telling Timothy? Be strong. Many people believe that Timothy was a little bit more of a shy, quiet, kept to himself kind of guy. And so, you know, if he was that way, that's probably why Paul was telling him, hey, be strong. Be what? What he says here in verse number one, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. Paul encourages young Timothy. He doesn't write to him telling him, hey, what you're doing is wrong. You need to do this. He doesn't write to Timothy saying, hey, you're not doing it the right way. He doesn't write to Timothy saying, this is the way that I've done it, and you need to do it this way because I've done it effectively, and I've done it for a little bit longer than you have. No, Paul doesn't criticize. Paul doesn't get in there and just tell Timothy what's up and what to do and how to go about it. He simply encourages him to keep keeping on. He simply encourages him to be strong, to hold on, to hang in there. Timothy, I'm encouraging you. I know you can do this. Just hang on. Stand in there. Be strong. You can do this. You know, soldiers have to be in peak physical condition and in shape in order to be at their best. That's why they go through training and through all kinds of things like that. They have to be strong. They have to be quick. They have to be agile. They have to have endurance. They have to be at their best. And the same could be said of us in our Christian life as well. We need to be at our best. A good soldier is strong in the Lord. A good soldier is in shape and ready to endure the battles of life. Whatever it is that we have to face, we're to be ready to endure it. We're to be ready to face it, knowing that we can make it and we have a commander that's there ready to help us through whatever that is. Number six, a good soldier is durable. A good soldier is durable. He's tough. He's ready to go. He's ready to take on the action. He's ready to face the enemy. He's ready to lay his life down on the line. Verse 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Enduring hardness means we should not allow ourselves to become easily discouraged. We can't allow ourselves to become easily discouraged because you're not going to endure when you're discouraged. When you're discouraged, it gets you down. It keeps you down. It's easy to keep pulling yourself down more and more, and then you look around and you see more and more discouraging things. You watch the news and you see more and more discouraging things. That ain't going to help you. So we need to be able to endure that discouragement. Enduring hardness means we are prepared for conflict at all times of the day. Whatever it is that we're facing, whatever that conflict might arise, we're prepared, we're ready for it. That means we should not back down from the threats of the enemy. What good soldier backs down to the enemy? Not a good one. That's not a good soldier. Enduring hardness means we will not allow the casualties of war around us to make us quit. Soldiers don't quit. Soldiers don't give in. Soldiers don't surrender. They're ready to take it on and to fight the battle. They're ready to face the enemy, to give their all. They're durable. They're tough. They endure hardness. Number seven this evening, we can see that a good soldier is dedicated. A good soldier is dedicated. He's loyal. He's dependable. He's faithful. A good soldier doesn't go AWOL. A good soldier, like I said, doesn't give up. It doesn't surrender. A good soldier doesn't give half heart. A good soldier doesn't go in 90%, you know, oh, I'm just going to give this much. No. A good soldier puts in 110%. He gives his whole heart and more. He's ready for whatever it is. He's dependable. A good soldier is all in. And my friends, this evening, we need to be all in for Christ in the Lord's army. We need to be all in, not just half-heartedly. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesday nights. Hey, you're here on Sunday night, so you could be a little bit more in than the ones just on Sunday mornings, right? But that's not what it's about. We need to be all in for Christ, just like a good soldier is in his battle. A good soldier can be trusted because he's faithful to his duties. Are you faithful to your duty? Are you faithful to whatever God has called you to this evening? Just like in the military or in the U.S. Army, you have to be dependable. You have to be trusted in the Lord's army, faithful to your duties. A good soldier can be trusted because he's loyal to his commander as well. Are you loyal to Christ this evening? Can God look down on you and he knows that you're always there. He knows you're more than dependable and trustworthy and ready to face. He might be able to look at you and say, hey, I got a special mission for you. I got a special task that you can go, and I know that you're going to fulfill it. Are you loyal to him this evening? A good soldier is dedicated. Number 8, a good soldier looks like a soldier. A good soldier looks like a soldier. Soldiers have a unique and special or specific dress code that they have to wear, don't they? When they're out and about and they're in their proper dress, we can pinpoint them. We can tell them, there's no doubt about it, they're serving in the military. Even more so when you're familiar with all the branches, you can pinpoint and you can tell which branch they're serving in. Because they have a unique and special dress code. You could just tell, you see, they are a soldier. They're to abide by that dress code. They're to follow it. They're to take part in that dress code. They look the part that they're playing, so to speak, you know? Although they're not just playing it, they're in it. But they look the part. They're dressing for that. I'm not going to get in and say, you know, anything about all kinds of things that I could say or people could say about how we are to dress and things like that. All I'm going to ask and all I'm going to say this evening is, do you dress the part that you need to be a good soldier in the Lord's army? Can people look at you and tell that you're a soldier in the Lord's army? Can people look at you and tell you, hey, they're prepared for battle. Hey, they're ready to face the enemy. I can tell that they're a Christian soldier. What do people see when they look at you? Can they tell a difference? Can they see anything like that at all? A good soldier looks like a soldier, is dressed like a soldier. Number 9, a good soldier enlists new soldiers. A good soldier enlists new soldiers. Timothy was not to teach others his own particular ideas or his own ways, his own theories and things like that, but simple doctrine. He was to pass on simple doctrine. For example, the things that thou hast heard of me, as Paul writes in verse number 2. Paul was teaching Timothy this entire time. He was teaching Timothy doctrine. He was teaching him all kinds of things. He was passing on the knowledge that he knew to young Timothy on how to be a pastor, how to be a preacher, how to start a church, and how to keep a church going, how to grow a church, all kinds of things. And Paul writes to Timothy and tells him, the things that thou hast heard of me, you're to pass on to the next generation. The things that you have learned from me, you are to pass on to the next generation or to new people, to more people. Pass it on. Not your own ideas, not your own ways or things like that, but doctrine. The doctrine that I have taught you. The doctrine that you have seen that I believe in, that I know. What was poured into him by Paul, he was responsible to pour into others. We're to do the same this evening. Doctrine, character, the love of God, all these things, take from him to Timothy to others. And then what does that usually conclude with? That person passing it on to another person, and that person passing it on to another person, and that person passing it on to another person is a recruiter for his cause. A good soldier is a recruiter for his cause and to his cause. He's ready to recruit new members. He's ready to recruit new recruits. He's ready to add to his squadron or whatever you might want to call it. He's ready to add more to the Lord's army. And it's the same for us this evening when it comes to being Christians. We should be willing, we should be more than ready to go and to recruit new converts. We should be excited and ready to go out to see our church grow and to see the kingdom of God grow and to see the impact that we can make. By reaching others, we can call them into the family of God. We're showing them Christ, and then we teach them the things that they have learned from the Scriptures, the things that we have learned from the Scriptures, the things that we have been taught from fellow pastors and men of God and people in our lives that they have taught us from the Scriptures as well. You can recruit and you can enlist, but you also need to teach and disciple new soldiers. It's one thing, I get sick and tired of seeing all these churches that just boast and brag about all these people that they have saved. But then you follow up a week or two or 3 weeks later and those people are nowhere. They haven't kept up with them. They know nothing about them. It's all about numbers. People getting saved, people getting saved, people getting saved. You know, that's not what it's all about. It's about discipling them. It's about, if you're going to go through the process and go through the work to recruit them, you need to go all in and give it your all. Just like Paul is teaching Timothy here. Pass it on. Pour it into them. Don't just share the gospel with them and leave them. Don't just witness to them and share with them the things that you've learned and leave them. No, keep pouring into them. Pour into them all you've got. Give it all you got. Disciple them. Give them all that you can. And number 9, we see that good soldiers care for his fellow soldiers. Good soldiers care for his fellow soldiers. You know, the more you love God, the more you'll be able to love others. It's hard. It's hard for me. I struggle with it at times. People are annoying. People, some people we dislike. People get on our nerves. All kinds of things. We're human, so we want to react the way that we want to react, you know. And sometimes we don't care. But the Bible tells us we need to care for others, or we need to love others the way that God loves us. The only way you're going to love others is if you love him. So the more you love him, the more you'll be able to love others as well. Whether it be brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it be just people out and about, we'll be able to love them more because we love him more as well. How many of us care for others the way that we should? How many of us care for others the way that God does? I think we all would fail that this evening. We need to love more. We need to care more. It's hard. It's not easy all the time, but we need to do so. Number 11, we see that a good soldier wears his armor. A good soldier wears his armor. Ephesians chapter 6, we know the verses. Verses 10 through verses 17 and 18. It gives us the list of the Christian soldier's armor. The armor of God. We're to be more than familiar with it as well. We're to walk out of the house with it on. Wherever we go, we are to have it ready, equipped, have our armor on and ready to go. As we go about our day, as we face the battle, as we go against the enemy, we need to have our armor. We need to be wearing it. When you're attacked by the enemy, you need to have it. When you're in the heap of battle, when you're facing the unexpected, you need to be prepared by wearing your armor. Be familiar with it as well. Number 12, a good soldier loves his flag and is not ashamed of it. A good soldier loves his flag and is not ashamed of it. I can stand here tonight and unashamedly declare my love for that flag. I can unashamedly declare my love, my loyalty, my respect for its colors, for what it stands for my country, the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. I would consider myself to be a patriot, a lover of freedom, one that wants to stand with the Constitution and those who loves and thanks his founding fathers, one who definitely honors and respects those who have paid the price for the freedoms that we have today. I'll stand for the flag. I'll stand for Old Glory and the red, white, and blue and our freedoms. And I'll represent it. I'll wear it. I'll live it out because I'm an American and I'm proud to be one. When asked what my favorite colors are, I'll gladly say that they're red, white, and blue. You know, and no, you can't separate the three. You can't, you know, not just one of them, all three of them. When asked what my favorite drink is, I'll gladly say that it's sweet tea, right? I mean, that, like the good old South, like the good old Southern people, sweet tea, bless God. I'm American. That's the way that it is. When asked about my favorite smell and what it is besides my wife's cologne or besides bacon and sausage cooking in the pan in the morning for breakfast, I'll gladly say it's the smell of freedom, a.k.a. gunpowder. America, right? That's what we are. We're Americans. That's what we stand for. That's what we love. We love our flag. We love our country. Myself included, all of us. We can get ourselves so hyped up on it, on our country, what it means, what it stands for, its flag, its colors, its freedoms, all these kinds of things. But when it comes to the Christian life, we need to be able to do the same thing in the Lord's army. We need to be able to get excited about that flag and its colors and its emblem, the cross. We need to be able to unashamedly stand before others and declare that we are a Christian, that we are a Christ follower, we're a believer, we're a soldier in the army of the Lord, and we're not ashamed to let the world and others know it. That when the enemy sees us coming, they know which side we're on. They know that we're on the Lord's side and we're a part of His army. You got to love the flag enough where you can raise it high and let it fly and not be ashamed. That's what a good soldier does. Number 13, a good soldier stays focused. He stays focused. Sometimes you have to stay focused on staying focused. It's hard. They got these drinks and all kinds of things now that's supposed to help you focus and to you know, all kinds of things like that. I don't know if those work. I don't know if anything works, but it's hard to stay focused sometimes. Your mind starts wandering, and it always seems to be at the worst time possible when you're supposed to be thinking hard and you're supposed to be doing things. So sometimes it's hard, and it's hard in a world too where things are just, it's grabbing our attention left and right and back and forth. Everywhere we go, there's distractions, there's things that are just grabbing our attention, this and that. Distractions could result, though, in being hit by a fiery dart from the wicked one. We can't be distracted. We have to stay focused. Distractions can make us the target of a spiritual assassin. Sneaks up out of nowhere, boom, hit us. We're done. We're out of the game. We can't be distracted. We need to stay focused. Distractions could cause us to turn our backs, become vulnerable to the enemy. We have to stay focused. It may take a lot of work. It may take all that we have, but a good soldier stays focused. Lastly this evening, a good soldier completes his mission. A good soldier completes his mission. I don't know what special mission that God has given to you this evening. I don't know if He's called you to do something specific. I don't know if He's called you to do something special. But whatever it is that He's called you to do, you need to complete your mission. I want to, at the end of my time, at the end of my life, be able to stand before Him and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Just like the Apostle Paul says, I want to be able to say that I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I've kept the faith. Good soldiers will do that. It's going to be hard, it's rough. The enemy seems to get stronger and stronger as the days go on, and recruiting more and more help too. We're fighting that enemy on a regular daily basis. It's hard. The times are rough. But we need to finish our mission. Whatever that mission is, whatever it is the Lord has called you to it, be dependable, be faithful, be a good soldier for Christ in the Lord's army. Complete your mission so that one day we'll be able to hear Him say, "Well done." A good soldier in the Lord's army, do you have what it takes? Are you one this evening? Or could you be a little bit better? Could you do a little bit more? This is what good soldiers are made of. I pray that these quick pointers, once again, common knowledge, things that we already knew, but I pray that it will challenge us this evening to be the best that we can be, to be all in, to be more and to be better soldiers in the Lord's army. This is what it's going to take. This is what we need to do, and now is the time to make the changes that are necessary. A good soldier in the Lord's army. I pray that every one of us will be just that this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, we thank You for the challenge that we have heard this evening. God, I pray that, as I said, it would be a challenge to us all, God, that we would be the best that we can be, that we'd be dependable, we'd be faithful, Lord, to whatever it is that You've called us to do. Lord, many other things that we went through this evening, help us to recall, help us to remember, and Lord, help us to above all, to love You, and that when it's all said and done, we would complete our mission, Lord, being able to look back at life and hear You say, "Well done." Lord, we love You. We thank You for all that You've done and all that You will do. Please bless the remainder of this evening. Bless this invitational time as well, and speak to hearts as only You can. In Your name we pray. Amen. Pastor.